Ron was still in a bad mood with Hermione next day. He barely talked to her all through Herbology, even though he, Harry and Hermione were working together on the same puffer pod.
"How's Scabbers?"
Hermione asked timidly as they stripped fat pink pods from the plants and emptied the shining beans into a wooden pail.
"He's hiding at the bottom of my bed, shaking," said Ron angrily, missing the pail and scattering beans over the greenhouse floor.
"Careful, Weasley, careful!" cried Professor Sprout, as the beans burst into bloom before their very eyes. They had transfiguration next. Harry, who had resolved to ask Professor McGonagall after the lesson whether he could go into Hogsmeade with the rest, joined the queue outside the classroom, trying to decide how he was going to argue his case. He was distracted, however, by a disturbance at the front of the line. Lavender Brown seemed to be crying. Parvati had her arm around her and was explaining something to Seamus Finnegan and Dean Thomas, who were looking very serious.
"What's the matter, Lavender?"
said Hermione anxiously, as she, Harry and Ron went to join the group.
"She got a letter from home this morning," Parvati whispered. "It's her rabbit, Binky. He's been killed by a fox."
"Oh," said Hermione, "I'm sorry, Lavender."
"I should have known," said Lavender tragically. "You know what day it is?"
"The 16th of October. That thing you're dreading, it will happen on the 16th of October, remember?"
"She was right. She was right."
The whole class was gathered around Lavender now. Seamus shook his head seriously. Hermione hesitated. Then she said,
You were dreading Binky being killed by a fox?"
"Well, not necessarily by a fox," said Lavender,
looking up at Hermione with streaming eyes.
"But I was obviously dreading him dying, wasn't I?"
"Oh," said Hermione. She paused again, then, "Was Binky an old rabbit?"
No, sobbed Lavender. He was only a baby."
Parvati tightened her arm around Lavender's shoulders.
"But then, why would you dread him dying?" said Hermione.
Parvati glared at her.
"Well, look at it logically," said Hermione, turning to the rest of the group. "I mean, Binky didn't even die today, did he? Lavender just got the news today."
Lavender wailed loudly.
"And she can't have been dreading it, because it's come as a real shock."
"Don't mind Hermione, Lavender," said Ron loudly. "She doesn't think other people's pets matter very much."
Professor McGonagall opened the classroom door at that moment, which was perhaps lucky. Hermione and Ron were looking daggers at each other, and when they got into class they seated themselves either side of Harry and didn't talk to each other all lesson. Harry still hadn't decided what he was going to say to Professor McGonagall when the bell rang at the end of the lesson, but it was she who brought up the subject of Hogsmeade first.
"One moment, please," she called as the class made to leave. "As you're all in my house, you should hand Hogsmeade permission forms to me before Halloween. No form, no visiting the village, so don't forget."
Neville put up his hand.
"Please, Professor, I think I've lost..." "Your grandmother sent yours to me directly, Longbottom," said Professor McGonagall. "She seemed to think it was safer. Well, that's all. You may leave."
"Ask her now,"
Ron hissed at Harry.
"Oh, but..."
Hermione began.
"Go for it, Harry," said Ron stubbornly.
Harry waited for the rest of the class to disappear, then headed nervously for Professor McGonagall's desk.
"Yes, Potter?"
Harry took a deep breath.
"Professor, my aunt and uncle, forgot to sign my form," he said.
Professor McGonagall looked over her square spectacles at him, but didn't say anything.
"So, do you think it will be all right? I mean, will it be okay if I go to Hogsmeade?"
Professor McGonagall looked down and began shuffling papers on her desk.
"I'm afraid not, Potter," she said. "You heard what I said. No form, no visiting the village. That's the rule." "But, Professor, my aunt and uncle, you know, they're muggles. They don't really understand about Hogwarts forms and stuff,"
Harry said, while Ron egged him on with vigorous nods.
"If you said I could go, but I don't say so,
said Professor McGonagall, standing up and piling her papers neatly into a drawer. "The form clearly states that the parent or guardian must give permission." She turned to look at him, with an odd expression on her face. Was it pity? "I'm sorry, Potter, but that's my final word. You had better hurry, or you'll be late for your next lesson." There was nothing to be done. Ron called Professor McGonagall a lot of names that greatly annoyed Hermione. Hermione assumed an all-for-the-best expression that made Ron even angrier, and Harry had to endure everyone in the class talking loudly and happily about what they were going to do first, once they got into Hogsmeade. "There's always the feast," said Ron, in an effort to cheer Harry up. "You know, the Halloween feast in the evening."
"Yeah," said Harry gloomily. "Great."
The Halloween feast was always good, but it would taste a lot better if he was coming to it after a day in Hogsmeade with everyone else. Nothing anyone said made him feel any better about being left behind. Dean Thomas, who was good with a quill, had offered to forge Uncle Vernon's signature on the form, but as Harry had already told Professor McGonagall he hadn't had it signed, that was no good. Ron half-heartedly suggested the invisibility cloak, but Hermione stamped on that one, reminding Ron what Dumbledore had told them about the Dementors being able to see through them. Percy had what were possibly the least helpful words of comfort.
"They make a fuss about Hogsmeade, but I assure you, Harry, it's not all it's cracked up to be," he said seriously. "All right, the sweet shop's rather good, but Zonko's joke shop's frankly dangerous, and yes, the Shrieking Shack's always worth a visit, but really, Harry, apart from that, you're not missing anything."
On Halloween morning, Harry awoke with the rest, and went down to breakfast feeling thoroughly depressed, though doing his best to act normally.
"We'll bring you lots of sweets back from Honeydukes," said Hermione, looking desperately sorry for him.
"Yeah, loads," said Ron. He and Hermione had finally forgotten their squabble about Crookshanks in the face of Harry's disappointment.
"Don't worry about me," said Harry, in what he hoped was an off-hand voice. "I'll see you at the feast. Have a good time."
He accompanied them to the entrance hall, where Filch, the caretaker, was standing inside the front doors, checking off names against a long list, peering suspiciously into every face, and making sure that no one was sneaking out who shouldn't be going.
"Staying here, Potter?"
shouted Malfoy, who was standing in line with Crabbe and Goyle. "Scared of passing the Dementors?" Harry ignored him, and made his solitary way up the marble staircase, through the deserted corridors, and back to Gryffindor Tower.
"Password!"
said the fat lady, jerking out of a doze. "Fortuna Major," said Harry listlessly. The portrait swung open, and he climbed through the hole into the common room. It was full of chattering first and second years, and a few older students who had obviously visited Hogsmeade so often the novelty had worn off.
"Harry! Harry! Hi, Harry!"
It was Colin Creevey, a second year who was deeply in awe of Harry and never missed an opportunity to speak to him.
"Aren't you going to Hogsmeade, Harry? Why not? Hey!"
Colin looked eagerly around at his friends.
"You can come and sit with us if you like, Harry."
No thanks, Colin," said Harry, who wasn't in the mood to have a lot of people staring avidly at the scar on his forehead. I've got to go to the library, got to get some work done." After that, he had no choice but to turn right around and head back out of the portrait hole again.
"What was the point of waking me up?"
the fat lady called grumpily after him as he walked away. Harry wandered dispiritedly towards the library. But halfway there, he changed his mind. He didn't feel like working. He turned around and came face to face with Filch, who had obviously just seen off the last of the Hogsmeade visitors.
"What are you doing?" Filch snarled suspiciously.
"Nothing," said Harry truthfully.
"Nothing," spat Filch, his jowls quivering unpleasantly. "A likely story, sneaking around on your own. Why aren't you in Hogsmeade buying stink pellets and belch powder and whizzing worms like the rest of your nasty little friends?"
Harry shrugged.
"Well, get back to your common room where you belong," snapped Filch,
and he stood glaring until Harry had passed out of sight.
But Harry didn't go back to the common room. He climbed a staircase, thinking vaguely of visiting the owlery to see Hedwig, and was walking along another corridor when a voice from inside one of the rooms said, "Harry?"